Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Tzadi Zayin. As promised, it's a day dedicated to the topic of tefillin. Yesterday, we started the topic of tefillin, and we continue it today. The reason why yesterday we spent the entire day talking about tefillin is because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, going back to daf Tzadi Hamad Aleph, starting the new parak, the 10th parak of Erevin, the final parak of Erevin, spoke out of machlokas between the Tanakam and Rami Gamliel. You're walking out to the street in Shabbos, and what do you find in the street? A pair of tefillin. Pair of tefillin, two pair of tefillin. We'll talk later on this morning, a bundle of tefillin. And the concern is that it's subject to the elements, it's subject to theft. So what do you want to do? You want to pick it up, you want to go back home. So what do? So you wear it. You put it on and you wear it. How many can you wear at one given point in time? So the Mishnah brought down a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rami Gamliel. Tanakama says you could wear one pair at a time. And Rami Gamliel says you could wear two pair at a time. Yesterday, in yesterday's daf, we went over four, possibly five different ways to explain the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rami Gamliel in terms of what exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokas is between the two. Essentially, eventually, the Gemara settles on one of the first explanations, which is a question of whether or not tefillin, Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. If Shabbos were Zman Tefillin, if in fact Shabbos is the right time to put on tefillin, so that would represent the position of the Tanakama, which means then that you put on your first pair of tefillin, that you're now being Mekayim a mitzvah. What happens when you put on your second pair of tefillin? Baal Tosif. You're violating the Isser in the Torah of Baal Tosif, and that's why you can only put on one pair of tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, says, no, that Shabbos is Lav Zman tefillin. It's not the time for tefillin, so when you put on your first pair of tefillin, you're not being Mekayim a mitzvah. What is that? So as the Gemara explained yesterday, that's a tachshit. It's just, it's ornamental, it's dress, it's decorative, but it's not a tachshit. Now, normally you don't go out like that, and if there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin, you normally don't do that, but the Chachamim allowed you to do that in order to preserve and save the tefillin. So you put on one pair, you could put on a second pair. Why? Because we discussed yesterday, because makom, there's place on your arm and on your head to actually put on two pairs of tefillin. That's that was the basic machlokas between Tanakam and Rami Gamliel, and then it brought us to basically the bulk of yesterday's daf, which was a question of who holds that tefillin Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, who holds the Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. Okay, just as a quick review, most Tanayim hold the Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin, and as you probably would have guessed, that's the accepted halacha. So we went over yesterday Rav Yosef Aglili, we went over Rabbi Akiva. So most of the Tanayim say that Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. In fact, the Gemara struggled yesterday to find the Tanu who says Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. Eventually, we settled on two Tanayim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if a woman finds the tefillin out on Shabbos in the street, so she can pick it up and she can go back home. If she can pick it up, wear it, and go back home. The Gemara says, how can she wear it? Isn't it a mitzvah? Sesei shazman gram, it's a time-bound mitzvah. And the Gemara also had to invoke the idea that both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda don't subscribe to this idea that if a woman is exempt from a mitzvah, she could still opt into the mitzvah, which, as we pointed out yesterday, it's a very easy way to get out of this whole discussion, meaning she's not obligated, but she's as an option, she can opt in. The Gemara proves that according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Yehuda, they don't subscribe to that idea. So therefore, the only way they could wear it is by holding that it's not a zman, that it's not a mitzvah sesei shazman grama, and that's why women could wear it. So therefore, you do find at least two Tanayim hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. But again, as we pointed out, that's not the normative halacha, and we are continuing from yesterday. We're on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two-thirds down on the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Elazar. Okay. We're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent right now for the next, 15 lines of Gemara to the top of the next Amud with the following discussion. Hamotzei Tchelas Beshuk. So you're walking in the marketplace and you look down the floor and what do you find? Tchelas. Oh, perfect. Now when we say Tchelas over here, we mean wool that's dyed in the Tchelas color. So in the blue color. And I find it on the floor. Now, great, meaning what an excellent opportunity. I'll pick it up. I'll make tzitzis out of it. I'll use it for my tzitzis. And what's the issue? The issue is very simple. It's hefker. Let's assume it's hefker. It doesn't belong to anybody. There's no theft involved. The issue over here is just simply that in order for tchelis, in order for the wool strings to be good, it has to be made lishma, for the purpose of tzitzis. There's a lishma, requirement for this tchelis. So the question now becomes, was it done lishma or was it not done lishma? Meaning, and the person who did lishma, for whatever reason, left it there? Or no, In other words, it may have been that it was just blue dye, blued for another purpose, but not for tzitzis.
It's a weekday.
And it's a weekday. So amotzei tchelas b'shuk, so lishonus psulos. So if they are tufts of wool, right, literally tongues of wool, so if it's tufts of wool, which are, in other words, they were not produced into strings, so then no. No meaning, as Rashi explains, I'm going to be concerned with the fact that they were not dyed lishma. However, chutim, but if they're already made into strings, so ksherin, so now they're going to be kosher. The argument basically is going to be, and the Gemara is going to spell this out in just a moment, but the argument is basically going to be, they're dyed, they're already turned into strings, meaning why else would a person go through all this trouble to make these blue strings had it not been that the intent was, the original intent was for tzitzis. The Gemara is going to spell this point out. So the Gemara says, because if I find tufts of wool, so then the argument is they probably were made for some sort of coat. But in other words, but not for tzitzis. And therefore it's missing the lashma aspect. The Gemara says, well, can't you make the argument that even though they're strings, maybe they were strung for a different purpose? Maybe they were strung for a coat? So the Gemara says, bishizurin. Yeah, but they were twisted. And and because they were twisted, now that's even more evidence that they were made for the purpose of tzitzis, and therefore it was made lishma. We can assume it was made lishma. So the Gemara says, shizurim nami neima daita desifsa diglima aifinu. So the Gemara says, even if they're twisted, can we say that they're used for the edge of the coat? In a way that I do not understand, apparently, twisted string is excellent for the edge of a coat. Fine. I'm not a tailor. I don't know what the Gemara is talking about, but it could be that it was made for a coat. The Gemara's answer is bimufsakin. No, they were cut to size. So in other words, they were string, they were twisted, they were cut to size, they were made for tzitzis. All the evidence indicates that they were made for tzitzis, and as a result of that, I can assume that it therefore has lishma. So dekulei ha'vada lo tarchu inshi. Now at that point in time, I'm going to make the following argument. No one's going to go through all this trouble unless it was made for tzitzis, and therefore I have enough evidence so that I can assume it was made for tzitzis. Okay, and why are we discussing this now? Meaning, okay, good. Now we understand the halacha, but why is this up for discussion now? Amar Rava v'chi adam tarech lasos kemeh kemen tefillin. So Rava now poses the following question. Look, we had a discussion in our Mishnah, first Mishnah in 10th Berak of Erevin. Our Mishnah discusses what happens if you find new tefillin. Now, we explained, let's go over this again. What does that mean, new tefillin? It means that it wasn't, there were no knots to it, it wasn't tied. Right? You remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if they are new, so then you cannot pick them up and you cannot bring them in. Okay, why? So the explanation that we gave and the explanation that we are now going to give is the fact that because they're chadashos, we're not sure if they're tefillin. Or what else could it possibly be? And the answer is it could be a kameah. A kameah, an amulet that was much more popular back in the good old days, was worn by somebody who needed a refuah shleima or whatever the case was, needed a new mazel, whatever the case was. And a kameah, you know what it was? It was a leather pouch with basically an inscription written inside of it. Could very well have easily been confused with... Right, it's very... Right, could easily be confused with tefillin. So, v'chi adam terech lasos kemeh kemen tefillin. Now here, I have something on the floor that really looks a lot like tefillin, but maybe a kemeah. So again, now we understand the comparative discussion. Meaning, by the discussion of tzitzis, where... All evidence indicates that tzitzis. It was twisted. It was cut to size. So in other words, I have a lot of evidence that it was tzitzis. And the argument we made is, a person's not going to go through all the trouble of making tzitzis looking like this. It must have been made for tzitzis. The original intent was for tzitzis. And therefore it's lishma. So over here, if I run into a leather box that looks like tefillin, right, seems like tefillin, can't I make the same argument? Lo tarach adam, a person's not going to go through the trouble. Did not bemed ramamor and bishanos, and the Gemara first quotes the Mishnah. That's only true if they're old tefillin of Abba Chadashos Pater. So Amr Abizer, Lava Bray, Pok Tini Lahu, go and teach the following. Meaning, he has a braisa. Amotzei tcheles b'shuk. And now we're going to go back to the case of tcheles, which is, again, similar to what we learned in the beginning of today's daf. L'sharon's psulus, chutim mufsakin, kasherim. So if they are tufts of blue wool, so then again, the assumption is they were made for some sort of coat. If there were strings that were cut to size to their kasher, meaning you can assume that they originally were dyed for the purpose of tcheles, lefi, this is the key, lefi shein adam tareach, because a person doesn't go through all the trouble. So what do we gain by this braisa over here? It's kind of similar to what we started the discussion off. It's actually written in the braisa, the Rashi makes this point. It's actually written in the braisa, lefi shein adam tareach. That's not a commentary to the braisa, that's actually in the braisa itself. So once again now, we're really stuck. Meaning, this braisa that we just quoted says, lefi shein adam tareach. If you see something that looks like tzitzis, you can assume it's tzitzis. People won't go through the trouble of doing all this not to make tzitzis. So now the question basically is at a head. What about tefillin? If I see something that looks like tefillin, can I assume it's tefillin? Amarava mishum detni le ava bere de Rabbi Zera kipi talala. So I understand. So good. So you have a braisa. So we're gonna hang jewelry on the braisa. Rashi explains the word kipi means jewelry or rigs. Meaning, okay, it's a braisa. That's great. Good, you have a braisa. I have a mishnah. The mishnah says that when you have a box, a leather box with the rolls in it, if it's not tied like tefillin, so then I have to be concerned that it's a kameya. Now again, can we ask the same question? Can't we make the argument? Hey, doesn't a person want to go through all the trouble to make a kameya look like a pair of tefillin? So Ella Amarava Tarach Velo Tarach Tanaihi. So Rava says, you have a braisa, I have a mishnah. So why don't we suggest the following? Maybe it's a machlokas. Meaning this idea that person went through all the trouble of making something look like tefillin. So the conclusion is it tefillin or maybe it's something else? That may be a machlokas tanaim. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the braisa. Hamotzi tefillin machtis and zug zug echad ish ve'echad isha. Doesn't matter who finds it, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. Echad chadashos ve'echad yishanos. Whether they're new or whether they're old. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So good. So I have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says they're new. What does that mean? They're new. Again, it's a box. There are leather straps. There's parchment inside of it. They weren't tied like tefillin. So I don't know, are they tefillin or are they not like tefillin? It doesn't matter. A person wouldn't make this just so that it looks like a kameah that looks like tefillin. So you see that Reb Meir has this argument of lo tarach adam. Person's not going to go through all the trouble. And then Rabbi Yehuda oser b'chadashos umatir b'yishanos. Ama amar sava tarach enish umar sava lo tarach enish. So Rava says, conclusion, this is a machlokas tanayim. This idea that I find something that has gone through a lot of process, looks like tzitzis, looks like tefillin. So one argument, the Rav Yehuda argument is, lo tarach adam, a person will not go through all this trouble unless he's actually making tefillin or tzitzis. And therefore, by the strings, you can assume they were lishma. By the boxes that look like tefillin, you can assume they're tefillin, even though they weren't tied like tefillin.
Why are you assuming that tefillin would not go through trouble for anger?
My knowledge of amulets is really limited, but I guess amulets don't have to look like tefillin. And if the amulet doesn't have to look like tefillin, the person's not going to go through the trouble of making it look like tefillin. At least, again, that's Rabbi Yehuda's argument. Sorry, that's Rabbi Meir's argument. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. Okay, good. So you are more in line with Rabbi Yehuda, which is no, it could look like tefillin, but it really, in actuality, it could be an amulet. And therefore, you have no right to save it on Shabbos.
The assumption in the Shabbos case that you're doing this for Shabbos,
have they done? No, Bizayim. You want to save it from Bizayim.
So, in the weekday case, it sounds like this was a Kenyan. It's not a Shabbos event.
Correct.
So.
Correct. Correct.
It's a weird.
It's not a parallel?
I'm saying you don't find Tchila strings or tefillin looking.
Right, by correct. It's three. You're right. It's two different discussions.
By the bring up.
Right. But you're right. The point is very well taken. Now, the Gemara has had a lengthy discussion about tarach and lo tarach, all with the supposition that we knew what chadoshos are and we knew what yishanos were. chadashos, brand new box, parchment inside, not tied like tefillin, maybe a kameya. That's what we thought chadashos were. And what have we been thinking yeshanos were up until this point in time? Leather box, parchment inside, but wrapped like tefillin. That's the difference between chadashos and yeshanos. The Gemara is going to now say, look, that was all good. That was a great discussion. We had a whole understanding of tarach and lo tarach. But let's be honest. That's not what chadashos are, and that's not what yeshanos are. The hashta. Now we're going to give really a new understanding of what chadashos are and what yeshanos are. They're both tefillin. Chadashos are tefillin. Yeshanos are tefillin. The difference is whether they're knotted. That's it. What's the problem? So before we get to the problem, the kuleyama lo tarachinish. So therefore, we're all going to subscribe to this idea of lo tarachinish. Meaning, look, if you see a box and it looks like tefillin, it's tefillin. Okay, done. Meaning, so leave the whole discussion elsewhere. Meaning, we're going to right now assume that if you see something looking like tefillin, it's tefillin. So now, question becomes as follows. So now I'm out in the street in Shabbos. I see an old pair of tefillin. Old now, what's our new definition of old? What's our updated definition of old? Old means they're knotted. They're tefillin that are knotted. So all I need to do is just simply put them on my arm, put them on my head, and go inside the house. New tefillin, they're just simply not knotted. Okay, what's the problem? Problem is, now, it's Shabbos, you got to tie a knot. And the Gemara, beautiful discussion coming up in the Gemara. Vila anvu me'anev. So the Gemara says, okay, I know you're not allowed to tie a knot in Shabbos, right? That's one of the 39 malachos. That's called kosher. How about this? How about just make a bow? Right? I know this is so funny, but with your tefillin straps, make a cute little bow. And bring home your tefillin with tied in a bow. So. No, in other words, because the Gemara has just now assumed lo tarachinish, meaning that if they look like tefillin, so they're tefillin. That's what we're going to assume now going forward.
But there's an opinion that
wait, we'll get to that. That's coming up. So anvino me'anev amar Rav Chista zosemeres aniv apsula b'tefillin. So Rav Chista says like this: look, from a Shabbat standpoint, you're right. I could tie a bow. Right? We make bows. Bows are fine. That's not a professional knot, it's a temporary knot. It's fine. The problem is, that's not tefillin. Meaning that by tefillin, the only thing that makes tefillin is the knot, and the knot has to be a permanent knot.
What if you're wearing it as an ornament?
You can't. In other words, the assumption is that you have to wear it as tefillin. That's the assumption.
I mean, if you're wearing it not to the mitzvah, but as an ornament.
Understood. I understand your point, but the Gemara is assuming is that your justification of taking and wearing it back home is you have to wear that tefillin. Even though it is interesting. You're right. It's not Shabbos. It's not this month tefillin. You're not being mekayim a mitzvah. Right. Those are valid points. But, okay. So again, so the first approach of the Gemara Rav Chista is that an aniva just simply will not do for tefillin. When you tie the knot of a tefillin, it has to be a permanent knot. Abaye Amar Rav Yehuda Tame. Now Abaye says, well, remember, we're discussing this halacha, and we're also learning it within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was who we just quote on the top of the Amud, in the Braisa. Rav Yehuda Tame Damar Aniva Kshira Mal Yasahi. Now this takes us back a long time in Shas, but not that long ago, but in Shabbos, when we discussed the idea of kosher, the sheet of Rav Yehuda is, an aniva and a kshira are both prohibited on Shabbos, and so therefore, you can't tie a bow. So, time of aniva kshira mayasihi, halav hachi anivle. So the Gemara says it comes out something very interesting, that according to Rav Yehuda, vis-a-vis Shabbos, you have a problem because for him, aniva is just as prohibited as kshira. Comes out then that according to Rav Yehuda, had it not been Shabbos, and you have tefillin, and you want to tie in a bow, that's fine. Meaning a bow would be fine for Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, but we know otherwise. V'hamar Rav Yehuda b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei derav kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai hu. We know that the way we knot our tefillin is part and parcel of halacha l'moshe misinai. There's no room for maneuvering How do I tie a knot? We know how to tie a knot based on Lachla Moshe Mitzrayim. And oh, by the way, Amar Rav Nachman v'neveh and labar. They should be exposed to the outside. Now Rashi writes on Halach L'Moshe Messina, Rashi writes, Heichu Asui Shadom L'Dalas, Uve Tviratam Osim Kemen Shin, right, in terms of the knot has to be in the shape of a dalad, in terms of the tfira has to be like a shin, he's describing over here the Shel Rosh, Uve Tzua Ketana Kavua Behen, V'Rosha Kafuf, V'Doma L'Yud, Hare Shin Dalad Yud. In other words, and by the shin on the Shel Rosh, and the dalad knot on the Shel Rosh, and the yud on the Shel Yad, you have the name of Hashem. That's all part of Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. And the Neveim Labar, and Rashi points out that these letters that we put together have to be exposed. Labar Rashi, L'chush Einim Kalpei HaTfilin, Bein Abatim, Ela Keneged, Maris Ha'ayin. Maris Ha'ayin over here, by the way, is not used in the negative connotation. Maris Ha'ayin just simply means it has to be seen. It has to be public. L'fishin Amarban, and then he quotes the Gemara Menachos, Uru Kol Amei Ha'aretz, everyone's going to see your tefillin, and they're going to be afraid. V'tanya Rav Elazar Gadol, Omer Elu Tefillin Sharosh, and that is the Tefillin Sharosh. Anyway, but the point being as follows. That you're telling me that according to Rav Yehuda, who for him a bow is just as much as a knot, as a regular knot, so you're telling me that you could tie a tefillin in a bow, but it's not true. The way we tie tefillin is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Gemara's answer is the arniv luhu ke'en kashira didhu. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yehuda, you do the aniva, you do the bow ke'en kashira, meaning in a similar way that I would do the kashira. I'm not exactly sure. This is serious Boy Scout material. But in other words, you tie the bow in a way where you're going to see the dalet, where you're going to see the yod, where in other words, where it basically is going to look like the kesher shel tefillin. Okay. Just a couple more interesting things before we go on in the Gemara. Okay, so what comes out from this Gemara is as follows. We have a totally new understanding of what chadashos and yeshanos are. It has nothing to do with maybe it's a kameya, maybe it's not a kameya. The Gemara rather says, no, chadashos and yeshanos is just a simple function of whether they're tied, whether they're not tied. If they are already tied up, so it's no problem, I'll pick it up, I'll wear it, and I'll go back home. If it's not tied, the problem is that I can't wear it, because then I'm going to have to tie it, and tie it will be a violation of Shabbos. We have two approaches in the Gemara. We have Rav Chista, and we have Abaye. Rav Chista says that what comes out very clearly over here is that I can't bow the tefillin, but rather I must make a permanent knot. And Abaye says, well, it could be that our whole discussion is falling like Rav Yehuda, and from Rav Yehuda's standpoint, making a bow is just as prohibited as making a knot, which conversely also means that if I make a bow during the week, that would be good for my kesher shel tefillin.
If all the knots and everything, why isn't that makir patish?
Makir patish, I don't know. That's not, in other words, that one... I don't know if that fits into this whole discussion. I'm not sure. Makir patish, you're building something. Here it's already made, you're just making a knot. Okay, fine, could be. All right, basic machlokas Rishonim comes up over here, came up at length in Menachos. Let's go just quickly review it. And that's the following. We have a pasuk in the Torah that says that when you put on tefillin, the Torah doesn't say that you place your tefillin on your body, but rather the Torah says, Ukshartem lo'os al yadecha. You tie the tefillin on you. So one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, which he doesn't come up that frequently, not to my knowledge, but he says, you know what that means? That means that day in, day out, when you put on your tefillin, you have to untie your tefillin the previous day, and then when you put on your tefillin, you have to actually make the knots every single day. Now, makes a lot of sense. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Shartem lo'os ayidecha. You tie it on your hand. So it sounds like that the verb ukshira actually means you make the kesher every single day. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu.
But then you make a kesher, it's not that doing anything to put it, you know, to keep it on your hand.
Okay, no, that's step two. No, I understand that. That's step two. Step two will be then, after you tie it, you put it on. But the Torah tells you that you have to tie it every day. That shitas Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So who argues with him? Famously. Well, famous only because I know it. Who argues with him? Rabbeinu Tam. So if you want to see over here, this discussion, much longer discussion, Menachos, but right over here, you get to see it again, second Tosfos on the Amud. Umikan, it's the second Tosfos of Abaye, it's the middle of the Tosfos. Umikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam, The ain't sarach b'chol yom lahatir kesher tefillin v'lachzer v'likshar b'shashem menichan kagon or kamosha haya omer Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Tam says no. That's you don't have to tie it every day. The im kain and Rabbeinu Tam says, and how do I know I'm right? Our Gemara that we just learned together, our Gemara is the best evidence that there is no requirement to tie the tefillin every day. The im kain chadashos amay aser. Because one of the things that our Gemara has said is, what's the difference between Chadashos and Yeshanos? Again, our new understanding of Chadashos and Yeshanos. Yeshanos means they were tied. Chadashos means they were not tied. I don't understand. If Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right, aren't tefillin always untied? Meaning day in, day out, I tie, I untie. I tie and untie. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, am I ever making a kesher shel kayama? No, never. I'm tying and untying every single day. Rabbeinu Tam wants to make the argument, what do you see from our Gemara? The fact that our Gemara says I can't tie it on Shabbos is because I'm creating a kesher shel kayama, a long-standing knot. So Rabbeinu Tam makes the argument that you see from our Gemara that Rabbeinu Eliyahu was not right.
But then don't some people define kamada for 24 hours or no?
Even if it is 24 hours, meaning
24 hours,
it's going to be less than 24 hours. You could put the tefillin on for a minute and then, but generally speaking, you wear your tefillin for some time. Okay. And then
Rabbeinu Eliyahu could be approved to Ben's question, though.
It's not a function of time.
It's not Makkah B'Patna's question.
But it's Makkah
B'Patna. It's not Makkah B'Patna because every day you do it.
Okay, could be. Now what becomes good evidence for Rabbeinu Eliyahu and difficult for Rabbeinu Tam is the Gemara Menachos. Now Rabbeinu Eliyahu Raya Midamer B'Sof HaKometz Rabba. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu says you're right. Our Gemara Nerevin certainly sounds like Rabbeinu Tam, but let's read together the Gemara Menachos, which Tosus quotes Tefillin Me'im Asay Mevarech Aleihem Mishas Hanacha Ad Shas Kshira. From the moment that you put it on to the moment that you're kosher. That's the language of the Gemara in Menachos. So that sounds like, and that's not just a pasuk in Chumash, which in of itself is excellent evidence, but it's also the language of the Gemara. Ad Shas Kshira. So what's Rabbeinu Tam going to do with that Gemara Menachos? The Tosfos explains. Lav Hainu Kshira Mamish. No, don't take that literally. The Gemara Menachos doesn't mean that you're physically tying the tefillin every day. Ela Kshira Da'asam Hainu Hiduk. Kshira over there means tightening of the tefillin. Kamoshal yakshura bavlad, v'chen kshura bo kekelev. Tosfos quotes precedent throughout a number of other places in the Gemara, where you see that the word kesher just simply means a tightening, but doesn't actually mean the making of a knot. Okay, so classic machlokas, as you would all imagine. The halacha is not like Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam. There is no requirement to tie your tefillin every day. The tefillin should be the knot of the tefillin needs to be a kesher shel kayama. Okay. All right. Let's go on. Amar Chista. We're in the Gemara Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. We are about halfway down the Amud. Second word in the line. Amar Rav Chista. Amar Rav Lekech tefillin mimisha ainu mumcha. So let's say you're buying tefillin and you're buying it from somebody who's not a mumcha. So why would you be doing that to begin with? I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit cheaper. Who knows? Whatever the case is. So, you need the bedika. Bodek shayim shal yad v'achas shal rosh, shayim shal rosh v'achas shal yad. So, you need to check three tefillin. Now, that three can be made up of either two shal yads or one shal rosh, or two shal roshes or one shal yad. So, the Gemara says, I'm really not understanding. Manav shachim, echad gav, kazavin. If you're buying the tefillin from one person, live doko shal shal yad or shal shal rosh. I don't understand, why does it actually have to be that kind of variation? Why not just simply do three shal yads or three shal rosh? And imi trei tlasa gavri zavin. And now, if you're buying it from two or three different people, kol chav v'chad libay bedika, you're going to have to do a bedika. In other words, everyone's making their own tefillin, so everyone has to be identified as a mumcha. So la'olam echad gavri zavin. So the Gemara says, no, you're buying it from one person. U ve'inan demit mache b'shal yad u v'shal rosh. And the Gemara says, look, we need two things. We need the number three, because three makes a chazaka, and we also need to know that he knows what he's doing before the shal yad and shal rosh. The shal rosh, right, I'm sure at one point in time, either we've said it or you just know this, the Shel Rosh is four different compartments, four different parshiyos going into the four different compartments. The Shel Yad, one box, one compartment, one gvil, one scroll that has all four parshiyos on it. They're different. So you just need to know that he knows what he's doing with the Shel Yad. He's knowing what he's doing Shel Rosh. I don't have to check three of each. I just need a total of three, but I just need one of each, at least one of each, just to know that he knows what he's doing for each.
When they say checking, are they going to like checking the spelling, checking, or they're four partial, or they're separate?
I don't know. Does the Gemara actually mean open up the box and look inside? I'm not sure. So my love, Shlo Shel Yad, Shlo Shel Rosh. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat, lo shalosh. It just simply means you need to get to the number three. Mehen shel yad, mehen shel rosh. Of which, some could be the shel yad, some could be the shel rosh. Good. V'hatini Rav Kahana b'tfilin bodek shtayim shel yad v'shel rosh. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a braisa brought to us by Rav Kahana, and the braisa reads, you only need to check two, not three. The Gemara says, that's not a problem, ha'mani rebi hi. The brisa that says two, that's going like Rebbe, Da'amar betray Zimnich, have a chazaka. Classic machlokas that we have a number of times throughout the Gemara. How many times does it need to make a chazaka? Basic machlokas between Rebbe, and if I remember correctly, Rashimah ben Gamliel. And that is, according to Rebbe, two, according to Rashimah ben Gamliel, three. Fine. So the brisa that says that you only need to check two, that's Rebbe. Ihachi emasefa v'chem b'tsevas hasheni, v'chem b'tsevas hashlishi, second group, third group, E Rebbe Shlisha Mi Islay. So the Gemara says, now if we're holding like Rebbe, why do I need to check a third group? So Moda Rebbe, Bitzvasayim, Dimitre Tvasa Gavri Zav. And the Gemara says, yeah, but that's fine. Because if it's a tsevis, if it's a bundle, so that means they're coming from different people, so that's why I have to check each one individually. Ihachi Afila Revi Inami, Afila Chamishinami. So the Gemara says, so then I'd have to check number five, four, number five. And Achinami, the Gemara says, correct. That's right. And the reason why I got to check, and the Braisa only says three, just to make sure that we know that if I'm buying in bundles, they're coming from different people, and I just have to check each and every one. Okay. Good. Matzan Svasayim Okrichos. Good. And now, after all said and done, now we go back to the Mishnah. Okay, it's been a while, it's the 2 days of Daf, but now we go back to the Mishnah, and now we're going to try to say Pshat in the rest of the Mishnah. If you want to turn back to the Mishnah, we're on the first Mishnah of the 10th parak of Erevin. It's the bottom of Sadi Hamad Aleph. The Mishnah says, Amotzei Tfilin, Machnisin Zug Zug. So you find Tfilin in the street. So again, Machlokis, Tanakam, Rim, Gamliel, whether I bring it in one at a time, one pair at a time, or two pair at a time. That's only if they're old, but if they're new, then you do not bring them back in. What's our pshat that we are that we concluded? The pshat is chadashos just simply means they're untied. Matzan tzvasayin okrichos. If I find them either tzvasayin okrichos. Okay, we're up to that part of the Mishnah. The Gemara's question is going to be really simple. What does that mean? Matzan tzvasayin okrichos. My tzvasayin my krichos. Am Rav Yehuda Am Rav. Heinein tzvasayin heinein krichos. Basically the same thing. It basically means forms of bundling. Tzvasayim zuze zave zave. Tzvasayim that just simply means that they're bundled in pairs. The Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad are tied together, but there's a whole bunch of them together there. And krichos to krichon tuva. And krichos just simply means a smorgasbord of tefillin, but not paired up Shel Rosh and Shel Yad. Either way, the point is, you find there a lot of tefillin. Okay. Now, Machshich Aleihem. Now we get on to the next part of the Mishnah, the next words of the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say, Machshich Aleihem? Wait till the end of Shabbos. Stay there, and wait till the end of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, V'amai, le'ailinu zug zug. What are you doing? Meaning, didn't the first part of the Mishnah tell you, wear them, bring them home? So I'm Rav Yitzchak, b'rei d'Rav Yehuda, le'didim efresh le'minei da'aba, kol she'ilu machnisen zug zug, v'kalos kodem shkiyas hachama, Machnisim zug zug. V'ilo machshich aleihem uvian. Gemara says a very simple pshat in the Mishnah. There are just too many. Meaning, if there were enough there where I had enough time, where I put on a pair, go back to the house, go back, put on another pair, so then you're right. So then do that. In other words, and I could do all that before Shabbos is over. However, if I'm seeing right now, there are so many pairs of tefillin that even if I go in and out, I'm going to be here till the end of Shabbos. You know what? Stay there. Stay there till the end of Shabbos, and then after Shabbos is over, and then you could just simply pick up the whole bundle and walk back in. Uvesakana, now we're up to the next words of the Mishnah. It's like a running parish. Uvesakana machzan v'olech lo. Now, if you're worried about danger, cover it and go on your way. What's going on over here? The Gemara asks, V'hatanya v'sakana molichem pachos pachos me'ar ba'amos. Now, first of all, before we even really say pshat, we have another brisa, and the brisa says that if it's a makom sakana, so pick it up and walk less than 4 amos. Right? A methodology that we've talked about time and again throughout both Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Erevin, and that is that the only prohibition in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is to walk 4 amos. So pick it up and walk less than 4 amos. The problem is, I'm now thoroughly confused. The brisa just said, pick it up and walk less than 4 amos if it's a shasakana. Our Mishnah says, cover it, and then you'll come back after Shabbos. So, Amar Rav lo kasha, habisakanas nachri, habisakanas listim. So the Gemara says, two different types of sakana, which then would require two different methodologies. A sakanas listim, if you look at the bottom Rashi, on Sadi Zion, Rashi writes, Yisrael dekat lele. Now, sakanas nachri obviously means the sakana of a non-Jew. Sakanas listim, Rashi writes, Yisrael. In other words, basically like a Jewish mafia, basically. Rashi writes, Dekadle Mishum Amono. Look, they'll kill you for your money. Ula tfilin lo mevazer lahu. But if it's tfilin, I mean, in other words, they're Jewish, and they may kill you, but they know how to treat tfilin, obviously. And therefore, all you need to do is cover it up. So the Gemara is now suggesting that that's the distinction between our Mishnah and the Brisa just quoted. Amalei Abaye, we're on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Mi b'may ukimte lemasnisan b'sakanas ovdei galilim. So our Mishnah is talking about where it's non-Jews, and they don't, and you're now worried about the integrity of the tefillin, and that's and so ema seifa. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rabbi Shimon Omer knows on the chaver v'chaver l'chaver kol shekein da'av shemilsa. So the Gemara says, what about the position of Rabbi Shimon, which is the next step of our Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Shimon says, make a fireman's ladder and have him pass it from one person to another until you get home. The Gemara says, av shemilsa. Now, I'm going to explain that in just a moment. Av shemilsa usually means there's going to be more chil Shabbos because I'm making a public scene on Shabbos. But stay tuned, because with the help of Rashi, we're going to explain that a little bit better. That's not what av shemilsa means over here. So the Gemara says, no. There's missing part of our Mishnah. Let's fill in the blank. If the threat is a threat of a non-Jew, so then cover it up. But if the threat is listim, so then bring it back less than 4 amos. Okay. Now, as Rashi points out over here, this Gemara is a little bit difficult, it's a little bit challenging, meaning a little bit confused. First of all, what's the sakana? The sakana is leaving them there, the sakana is walking home. What exactly is the sakana? The Gemara is not that clear about it. And furthermore, what's the difference between a Jew versus a non-Jew? So let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, starting from the word Lashon Acher V'Ikar. Right, it's about a quarter down in this Rashi. It's a long Rashi, I know, but it's a quarter down in the Rashi. Rashi over here says, "Let me tell you what pshat is in our Gemara." V'lo l'shabish asfarim masnisim b'sakanas ov dekochavim. Okay, in other words, our Mishnah primarily is we're concerned about non-Jews. Shegazu gzer shalo yinichu tefillin. And what's the sakana where there was an actual edict, and we see this time and again throughout the Gemara, where the non-Jews said you can't wear tefillin. Okay, in other words, certainly the Romans were bent on this idea that...
Persia also.
Yeah. Bent on the idea that we should not be wearing tefillin publicly, so therefore, no tefillin may be worn. And Rashi says, and now when the Mishnah says, machsan, cover it, it means like this. Uvesakana, she'im yimtsu biyado, o yishmal amalchus, either you're caught with them on, or reports came back that you actually wore it. Yahareg bein ma'ad bein tzvasayim machsan betaliso shelo yutlu kol kach bebizayon uminichan sham. So now putting them on would pose a threat to you. So that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says covered up. In other words, don't put them on. Just simply cover it up, leave it there. You're saving a little bit of face of the tefillin by covering it, and then vaholech, and then v'lo yizizem misham, shem yagish above yischayv lamalkus. And the problem is that the moment you handle them, so then word's going to get back to the king. Your life now is in jeopardy, explains Rashi, and so therefore just cover it up. And another time you'll pick them up and you'll bring them home, but that's the Mishnah. The Braisa, Belistim of the Kochavim the Asefakai Diktani, Mahshe Khalem Vim Uvisakanas listim, Shuyari Lahach Chicham, Molichem Pachus Pachus Midal Amos. Now the Braisa is talking about listim, meaning that the sakana over there is not that there was an edict, a governmental edict that you can't wear tefillin. Sakana over there just simply means that you're worried for your own life. But not because of the government. But there's no concern of you wearing them. Wearing them is not a problem. And now Rashi explains, based on this, now we're going to say what the Pshat Avsha Milsa is. Avsha Milsa has nothing to do with Chilul Shabbos in this context. Avsha Milsa just simply means that if I get more people involved in this, in the rescuing of the tefillin, for sure word is going to get back to the king. And then Rashi goes on to explain that that's the Pshat behind Avsha Milsa. Okay, so again, discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa in terms of what should be the methodology, and should I cover it? Should I bring it back home again? So again, basically the Gemara says it depends what I'm worried about. If I'm worried about the king, so then, and if I wear tefillin in the street, I'm going to get killed, machs, and then I cover it up. If I'm worried about listim, so then I'll bring the tefillin back home. I'll wear the tefillin back home. Okay, just a little bit more for today. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nosan Lechaver Uvamai Kamithla Gimar Sever Pachos Me'arba Amos Adif Di Amart Nosan Lechaver V'Chaver Lechaver Avsha Milsa De Shabbos Umar Sever Nosan Lechaver Adif Di Amart Molichim Pachos Me'arba Amos Zimnan De Lavadai Tev Asli Lasvina Arba Amos Bereshis Arabim. Now, in other words, in our Mishnah we had basically two approaches. Either fireman's ladder, that's Rabbi Shimon's approach, or you pick it up yourself and walk incrementally less than 4 amos. And the Gemara just simply points out, it's just a debate in the Mishnah, which is safer, which is halachically safer. You see, if I get more people involved, so then I know I'm not going to go more than 4 amos, because I'm making a fireman's ladder, but the problem is Avsha Milsa. Meaning, and here, by the way, Avsha Milsa means Shabbos Avsha Milsa. In fact, if you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara actually says Avsha Milsa de Shabbos. Meaning here, the problem is that I'm getting more people involved in, it's not Shabbos violation, but just Shabbos desecration. As opposed to, if I do it on my own, so then there's a chance that I'm going to go more than 4 amos. So in other words, there's an argument that you can make in either direction. Okay, let's just do a little bit more for this morning, and we'll stop. V'chein b'no, b'no my b'yahasam. And the same thing can be done for your son. What's your son doing out in the street? So Rabbi Menashe, Tana b'shil yaladato ima b'sadeh. So for the Gemara, it says, first of all, we're no longer in the street, we're in the field, and it's your new son. Okay, brand new son. Your wife gave birth in the field, now you have a son out there in the field. We would like to get him from the field into your house. Okay, how are we going to do it? Now we have there is a concept, chai noseis atzmo, that if you're carrying somebody who can walk on their own, so that's not nisa d'oraisa, that's only nisa d'rabbanan. But over here it's a newborn, the newborn can't walk, so maybe the argument doesn't work over here. Anyway, how do you get the son from the field into your house? So, again, same basic debate. Either you pick it up and walk less than 4 amos incrementally, Tanakama, or according to Rabbi Shimon, fireman's ladder. Omai afilo hein mea. Now, the Mishnah had a very strange language. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, you make a fireman's ladder, nosin adam, I'm sorry, Even if it means 100 people are going to be handling your new son. Now, ask any doctor, ask any mohel. Do you want people handling your newborn? The answer is going to be no. And the Gemara recognizes that. The Gemara says, Alfagav de kashla yada. Even though, literally, the handling of your son is difficult. We don't want a whole lot of people handling a newborn, but, says the Gemara, hachi ha'adifa. But still better. Meaning, better to have a whole bunch of people handling the newborn, rather than the possible violation of carrying more than 4 amos in a Rishos HaRabim. Okay? Interesting conclusion of the Gemara. We'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up. We'll finish up to the new Mishnah. Tomorrow we continue in the Mishnayos. More miscellaneous topics, kind of like the loose ends of Shabbos, of all of Shabbos and Erevin, coming up in the 10th parak. Okay, stop over here. Continue.